Podcast, guys, podcast coming straight from
my working closet.
Tonight we have Mr. Robel Tess Fuldet.
Yeah, guys, I practiced that shit. No big deal.
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting name. He's a professional MMA fighter out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We have a actual real pro fighter here, guys. It's going to be really exciting. We're going to ask him tons of questions about his life, his fights, his pre-fight rituals. I can't say rituals. And we're going to just got to dig deep on anything that we got for him. Eric, you got anything to add to that intro?
Knowing us, we'll probably end up talking about his favorite color and what kind of shit he liked to play with as a kid and what his favorite video game is. But we'll go with the topics that Mark was starting off with. But you know how we are about bylines.
All right. So let's go ahead and start this up. Let's go ahead and roll that intro music. And we are on. Mr. Robel, nice to have you on the show, man. Thanks for coming through.
Yeah, thanks for the invite, guys.
Well, yeah, man. So we, Eric, you work with Robel, right?
I do.
And what do you guys do? You work at a bar? You guys are both bouncers?
Yes, sir.
You got any crazy
security
story?
Damn it.
Oh, sorry, we're security. Yeah, like, I'm not a garbage driver, I am a trash engineer, actually. Okay,
fuck you, man.
So, no, but honestly, we have a professional fighter in the studio today. What's pretty cool about that? What is your professional record right now?
I am 2-2.
That's fucking sick, man. And then, so did you win your first fight?
Yep, my first ever fight I won in Sioux Falls at the Pentagon.
That was by
submission, too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
That's and you
so
said sick. That was like the first fight you ever, the only fight you've ever won by submission.
Nope, actually that,
I think. The first professional fight you ever won by submission?
Well, he's trying to tell you, Eric.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I had some submissions as an amateur, but yeah, as a professional, that was my first ever one.
That's fucking sick.
And that was the armbar. That was fucking sweet.
Rear naked. My first ever submission as an amateur was an armbar, though.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
What does that feel like? Because, like, I will never experience that, obviously. But, like, when it comes down to when you go in there and you fight somebody, it's your first fucking pro fight, you're getting all amped up, it's fucking Royal Bill, Tess, I can't say your last name. And then you go in there and you start fighting this motherfucker and then you win. Is that, like, the biggest, like, fucking alpha male feeling on earth?
Yeah. You hear
it. You're like, yep.
You hear it a lot, like, with fighting, it's the highest highs and the lowest lows because winning feels amazing because you put in 8 weeks where all you're thinking about is this one fight and this one guy and you're training hard.
Right.
And then you get this victory and it's just like the biggest feeling of relief ever.
Like all that hard work you put in was like, okay, yeah, so it's good. So now on the opposite end of the spectrum, when you go in there and it's like, yeah, Robo's coming out, and then you get fucking beat. What the fuck does that feel like?
That's the worst feeling.
Bad. Ever. How long does that stay?
Yeah. How long do you? How many times? How many days in a row do you wake up in sweatpants?
Well,
it's like I'd imagine that's probably worse than that's gotta be worse than losing a chick.
Well, I don't know. I mean, so that's what I'm wondering too. Like, you know, you hit that and then you get a loss, but again, you work your ass off. And you do you always have that mentality of like, hey, I lost, but I learned a lot, and I'm gonna, you know, just dig off that type deal.
Yeah, it like the only thing you can do is move on, and it's just that first couple weeks, that first month, it's shitty.
It's just real bad.
But you got to use it as fuel, as motivation to like never let that happen again.
Sure. And you want to fool. So what's your goals, man? Like as far as it goes, like you are in this. Obviously, you're in it to win it. Like where do you see yourself in fighting? Let's say in the next year or two. What's your goal?
You know, it's really tough to plan.
That was like an interview question, I'm sorry. So where do you see yourself next 5 years?
It's a good question. It's tough to plan because I used to say that, like, in 2 years I wanted to be the world champ in the UFC.
And you believe that too, right? You feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like straight, because you can't just say that shit. No. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be champion. It's like, yeah, but are you, motherfucker? Yeah. But it's like, I believe when you
really?
When you talk, you look right into my eyes and into my soul. And I'm like, this fucker believes it. Like, that's awesome to have that confidence.
Yeah. The issue with that, though, is recently the UFC started talking about getting rid of their flyweight division.
Okay, and explain to the listeners what that is. Is that just like something where, like, kind of like with boxing, they have the same thing, right? Like a
weight
flyweight
class, yeah.
Weight class.
Boxing has a lot more weight classes than MMA. They got like, I want to say 20 in MMA. They have, for men, they have 10. And the lowest one is 125. And that's the flyweight division. And with the flyweight division, their champion used to be Demetrius Johnson. And he was like...
Is that in South Dakota? Oh, no. You're right. You were talking about overall, right?
Yep, in the UFC.
Okay.
And which the UFC is kind of the main organization. It's like
sure,
the NBA for basketball and yeah, the NFL for okay, football.
Why would they get rid of a flyweight division? That doesn't make sense.
Their champion was really good. He has like the most defenses of all time, but he just wasn't like generating enough fans.
Okay, so, that's what it comes down to, the money, right?
Yeah, and so... He ended up losing a real close fight, and then they ended up trading him away, and they just figured they'd get rid of the whole division.
Gotcha.
So if they got rid of that weight class in the UFC, couldn't you like consider going into 50 Cent's fight thing?
50 Cent. What was he talking about? What's that? Did he start his own fighting thing?
Yeah, he's got one.
Oh, okay.
I think... I know he's getting into it, but he hasn't really done any promotions yet. You're starting to see this crazy thing where, like, all these promotions are popping up.
So you almost have to be careful, like, who you sign with and blah, blah. Do you get offers all the time to do this and that or whatever?
Yeah, and I don't think you have to be too careful because there's usually a commission.
Okay.
So if you have the right people around you, you can, you know, fight for whoever and still make money. And
so real quick too, so MMA, so when you are fighting as an amateur, what are you like, what's the call? Because I know like you're wearing a Bellator shirt now, so like what exactly were you fighting before and what is Bellator?
I've fought for a bunch of different promotions as okay, amateur. The one I fought for the most was Dynasty Combat, and they're a promotion that's out of Nebraska.
So there's a bunch then. Yeah. Right? Is it kind of like the, what was that, like football leagues? Like they have all these stadium leagues and other leagues in this league. And the ultimate goal then is obviously like what's right under UFC?
So there's UFC that's at the top. And then right below UFC is Bellator.
And that's what you were, right? Or are?
Yep. I just had a one fight deal with them. So okay, that was cool. My last fight. They were in town and I was one of the local pro fighters that got a chance to compete for them. Yeah,
very cool.
An awesome opportunity.
So how, and that was the one, and you lost that fight, correct?
Yep.
And so when those opportunities come back around and you're going to be fighting again, what do you have to do to get that opportunity again? You just obviously win, but like, do you have to travel? Like, what do you got to do?
Yeah. So, twice a year, usually there are fights in Sioux Falls where you can fight professionally. Like LFA is, I would say they're right below Bellator. So if it's UFC, Bellator, LFA is a step below them.
All respected type shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. And
do they still have the old shit like Strikeforce and shit like that?
They don't have Strikeforce.
Have you ever heard
anymore
of that shit?
No, like, I just couldn't understand what you like, said. Sound like you're sleeping.
There used to be a whole bunch, like when the UFC first, I remember when the UFC first started, and there was motherfucking cats like Royce Gracie and shit like that. Ken Shamrock. Fucking
Shamrock.
Tank Abbott, all this shit. And I remember talking to Robel about this, like when I first started, like you were like the guy who trained me, like my first night we were talking about this.
By the
shit.
Way, I have to say Eric has the biggest boner over you, bro. Like he is so in love with you, dude. He comes to work every day, he's like, dude, Robel's the coolest fucking dude I've met. Like we gotta get him a fucking. And now I get it. Cause like I Google your name and like you just come up everywhere in MMA, blah blah blah. And like Eric's the best dude ever, but anyways, he's like, dude, we gotta get him out. Like, yeah, obviously. He's got the biggest man boner over you. And I get it, like you're badass.
I love to see fucking talent like that. I watched the fights and I was like, I even fucking told him about it. Like then that same night at work, I was like, I came out and I watched the fucking both of his fights.
Right.
Both of them, if you look on YouTube right now, you can see at least there's two or is there three fights. We'll see if we can find the other one, but there's a top one is DCS 33 Mason Teeter versus Robel. And then there's another one.
Richard Welch.
Fight? Yep, the Welch.
I've seen the Teeters fight twice.
Tell us about that Teeters fight. Where was that at?
Yeah, like just like a really quick overview on that because we got a bunch of questions.
So the Teeters fight was actually for that promotion I was talking about. So that says DCS, and that's Dynasty Combat Sports.
Okay.
And I was their amateur flyweight champ, and this was me defending the belt.
And you defended the fuck out of it, by the way. You made that, but you beat his ass. Sorry, Teeters, if you listen to this, dude, go to work, dog, because this fucker's working harder than you, dude. That's how what happens, right? That's what happens.
Well, at the end of that round, when they both did the swinging back arm, and they fucking
connected.
It was like
boom. And then he gets up, then he throws his mouthpiece out, like, "What's up?" I'm like, nobody wants that fucking mouthpiece, dude.
I remember when Bones Jones did that shit for the first fucking time,
sick though,
a million fucking years ago.
Yeah,
and everybody just started fucking rocking it.
So, okay. Why do you fight? Why the hell do you want to do this? Like, why do you want to go into a fucking octagon and start getting your fucking face hit? Like, you know what I mean? Like, kind of like wrestling. Like, what motivated you?
You know, I think it's a mix of a lot of things. I always was into martial arts. So, okay. Like, I always thought fighters were badass. I thought, like, when I was a sophomore, even younger than that, when I was a freshman watching Carl Parisian, who was this dude who fought in the UFC, and he was a judo black belt, and he would just toss people.
Dominate.
And I thought that was the coolest thing.
So you're motivated by fighters. Like, I'm a huge football fan. So, like, I watched LaDainian Tomlinson, Phillip Rivers, these guys, and I just, like, oh, shock and awe. So that was kind of for you. Like, that was your sport. That's your niche.
And, you know, fighting can get broken down into, like, a whole bunch of different sports, you know. You got guys that come from wrestling. You got guys that come from boxing. You got guys that come from kickboxing. And over time, it's all started to merge, and guys are coming up doing pretty much everything.
Sure. And it's cool, man. So, like, yeah, and, like, going back to the question, so, like, what made you want to do it? When did you get your first opportunity? Like, when we were like, okay, well, I'm going to go train here. I'm going to do this. And where do you train? You can go and plug your gym.
I train at Next Edge Academy.
Next Edge Academy. Here, there's a shout out.
Yep. We're in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Very
we're
cool.
Near downtown.
Can fighters sign up there? Can, like, guys walk in, sign up, do all that stuff?
Yep. You know, if you're a new person, you can... It's a good place to learn. If you're a fighter, it's a good place to train. You know, we got people just there to, like, lose weight or get in shape. Or
that's awesome. And that's a good way. And it's probably more fun, too, than just, like, I'm going to go run on the treadmill and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
So you get your first fight. So you go train at this gym. And then when were they like, all right, this is your shot. Here's your first fight. Like, what does that feel like?
I remember I wanted to fight, like, way before my coach actually let me sign up for the first fight.
Nice. So you were fucking ready.
Yeah. And, you know, it was probably smart because looking back, I definitely wasn't ready. You know? I was just a kid that had came from wrestling that was like, I'm just going to wrestle whoever I fight. And there's a lot more to fighting than just.
Oh, yeah, because it's everything.
Double legs and. That's
singles. What's cool about that, too, is, like, I watched that Teeters fight, and it seems like the edge that you have on people obviously seems like, you know, not to completely bore everybody. Don't worry. We're going to ask him jerk-off questions later, so, guys, chill out. All right, wise listeners. But when he jumps in, like, you have a beautiful double-leg takedown and your single leg, too. Jesus, dude. It's
well,
just
yeah,
money.
I mean, you can tell. And that's I think that's the reason why I love watching the fights in the first place, because of the going all the way back to when the UFC first started, way a million fucking years ago, to see the changes and see how quickly it's evolved, even though it's probably been around for, it's got to be 30 years over that.
Yeah, and to see, not that long. The UFC?
Yeah.
I think MMA has been around 30 years.
I think they had their 25th anniversary.
It's getting pretty close. Amazing. But to watch how it's evolved and to see the fighters nowadays, that's the reason why I give, personally, my own choice, and I grew up, my dad was a huge boxing fan, you know, I used to watch all the great fighters fight, you know, Spinks, Tyson, Holyfield, all those guys fight, you know, I used to watch, even when, you know, Larry Holmes, I used to watch that dude fight, and he was one of my dad's favorites, but that's why I give MMA just a little slight edge above that, because I love the fact that a lot of times you get to kind of live through the fighters coming up too, because you get to see a lot of what they do in their conditioning and watching how much strategy. It's like boxing is checkers to me. MMA is chess because.
So this has turned into the Eric interview, by the way, Robel. So he's just going to go on about.
This is good, though. No,
stupid ass been talking for the whole motherfucking shit.
I just wanted to know what it felt like. 2 damn seconds
of time.
I wanted to know what it fucking felt like for him to go in the ring the first time.
Fuck you, I'm talking here. Now you threw me off my train of thought and shit.
No one knew what you were fucking talking about.
But watching fighters, watching how the fighters have progressed and evolved over the years, and watching how it really is, it's all about strategy. I mean, obviously your conditioning and your training is essential, but you got to have your fucking mind right because it's shit can change in a second. You know, you can train for fucking 3 months and go in there and lose a fight in 3 seconds.
Is that how it feels like too? So like, I mean, like, have you fought before or done anything?
I've never fought professionally. Like I said, I was telling Robel earlier, I have some martial arts training when I was younger, but most of my fighting came from when I was in the military, learning there and just.
That's cool. That's respectable.
Being good with
my
hands.
So I'm glad you backed up with the military thing because I wanted to hear about all your fucking fight experience that you have none of. So.
I really don't have a lot of like professional fight. I would like to.
I wouldn't want to fight you though, Eric. I wouldn't want
to
fight you.
Next Edge, this is a shout out. I'd love to come to your gym and fucking work out.
Yeah.
We'll take you.
I would
so,
love it.
So back to the question though, man. So like you get your first call. You said too that your coach has told you, no, just sit back, learn some more shit, then go, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much what it was like.
And then when you went in there, like your first fight, are you fucking freaking out? Are you throwing up? Or are you just ready?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's the most anxiety you'll probably ever feel, you know. Just
God,
I can't even imagine.
It's scheduled violence.
I kind of like that. That might be your title.
I should tell my wife that. Can we put that on here?
So, yeah.
Scheduled
violence.
Yeah,
that's fucking awesome. So that's a really good way to think about it, too.
Shit.
It's like tonight, 7:30, we're beating the shit out of each other.
Right.
And we're going to make some money, and we're going to have people watch us that are drunk.
And then we're going to grab some drinks afterwards.
So then you get in there. Did you win your first amateur fight?
Yeah.
Nice. So you're just fucking riding cloud nine, right?
Like, yeah.
No one could beat you. No one could do shit to you. Just like, and then you win as an amateur because you only lost one fight as an amateur, right?
Yep.
So how did you go on a streak?
Yep. I think I won my first five, and then I fought another kid who was also 5-0 at the time.
Okay.
And lost the. Close decision.
It was a close decision.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you ever like try to get in the other person's head, like mentally, like talk shit to them? And
you know, it's not like my focus, but there's been a couple times where I fought this kid named Kai Brunk, and
that's a fucking name drop right there, Kai Brunk. We'll go ahead and tag you this episode.
He's a cool dude, and but we had like a little bit of Instagram back and forth.
There we go. So that's kind of like the juicy shit. Because, I mean, obviously, you guys aren't having press conferences and shit, right? Like,
not doing
any of that stuff. So you guys kind of like text back and forth, like, hey, by the way, when I see you on the scheduled violence, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. Like, or whatever. Like, so explain to us, what is that? Like, the back and forth. What was that about?
Oh, man. Okay.
Was it for show or was it serious?
It sounded real.
It was
real, but in like good hearted.
Just trying to get into
his
head.
I think, you know, I thought it was really funny, and I think he took it a little personal.
Oh shit!
What happened was he posted something about like, and it wasn't even anything, but it was just something like gonna show. It was announcing the fight, and he's like gonna show Robel how Minnesota flyweights whatever. And then I posted something and it was like a your mom joke.
So you just took it to the next
That's
level.
That's awesome. Your mom was so fat.
I could see where you might have gotten that way then.
And
awesome.
Like,
but
then, we're to see a Minnesota fight. You're like, well, I fucked your mom. So
and then,
awesome.
And then I didn't say anything. And the night before the fight, which is the weigh-ins, you know, you weigh in and then you have face-offs.
Right.
And he, like, got in my face and he's like, you reek of fear. Don't ever talk about my mama. And, like,
what you talk about
and mama? And I had, like, at that point, I had almost already forgotten, like, about that.
So you're
kind of
like, what is he talking about?
Yeah.
You didn't talk about your mama.
But
fuck are you
outside of that.
Oh, God. All right, so And then that, and that, and unfortunately, that was the one loss then. Because
nope.
Oh, you beat him.
Yeah. That was,
fuck yeah. So he talked all that.
I was talking about Joe Mama. Fuck you.
That's awesome. So you went through all that bullshit, and he's like, "You reek of fear. You're blah blah blah." And you're like, "Nah, bitch. I just beat you in the. I beat you in the octagon too."
I think it's almost like, you know, the night before a fight, you should probably be more focused on what you're gonna be doing the next day, and. When you're trying to get into somebody's head, it's almost like, oh, this guy is not confident enough to just
fight you.
Just fight, you know, fight me at my best. They want a mental edge.
They want a mental edge. So also, is it because we did a full podcast about Conor McGregor before his fight with Khabib, and yeah. It was kind of focused on
pre-fight rituals.
Yeah, so like, is it true? Like, do your coaches tell you, "Hey, don't jerk off, don't have sex"?
Yeah, what is the deal? Do they give a shit, or do they give you any advice?
Are you supposed to save that baby gravy up before you fight? Like, what's it about?
They don't say anything about that. But
no, really.
One thing I've had a coach say, my boxing coach, whenever somebody's really stiff, he's just like,
"Go get laid."
Or go rub one out before practice.
Really?
Next time.
Before? That'd be kind of tough, right? And like in the gym, you're like hearing everybody
see,
out
you
there.
Gotta think it'd be beneficial because then you get your head back in the game.
You're kind of loose and whatever. Like, hey,
yeah,
go jerk
you're
off.
Relaxed. You're relaxed.
But then you gotta come out of the fucking bathroom like, he just jerked off and then now we're gonna touch each other.
I think
he's gonna touch
you
with the hand that he was.
Would you? Like, so do you care? Do you even think about that shit? Like before your fights? Like, I'm not gonna.
What are your pre-fight rituals if you have?
No, like, do you jerk off before your fights? Do you have sex, or if it happens, it happens?
Or is it just like not even anything that's in the forethought? It's like if it happens, it happens. If it don't, just whatever. It's another day.
You know, I get so much anxiety about fighting that like it takes over my head.
All right,
I just.
Almost like whiskey dick with anxiety. It's like pre-fight. It's like I'm not even going to be able to fight.
It's like you have anxiety. There's not shit you can do about it. It's just there.
By the way, Robel is the works at a high school. He what do you do with the kids over there, man?
I am a wrestling coach at Lincoln High School. I am one of the assistant coaches. I work with the middle school mostly and the high school a little bit. And then I run the youth practices.
Very cool. So what would you and tell your high school kids not to jerk off before fights or anything?
I've had to give out relationship advice though.
Really? We gotta hear that.
Dude, I remember, well shit, you played football in high school, man. You know your coaches.
Oh yeah. And when you have a younger coach that comes in
that's
real
cool
that
you
can relate
that.
To, that's a big deal.
See, that's pretty dope that they relate to you like that because most people are so afraid to just if that's one of the reasons. Well, that's an entirely different podcast, but I think it's dope that they're cool enough to come up to you and
to be
get
like,
that
hey,
shit
man,
off their chest, or just
be able to
whatever,
tell you, hey, I'm having problems with my girl or whatever. What did this kid do?
Good
what
on
did,
you for listening.
What did he go through? You don't obviously no name drops or whatever because you'll ruin these lives, but like,
he took a well, I guess he got enticed to take a girl out,
cheated.
No, they skipped school together, and then her dad found out and wasn't very happy.
Oh, no.
So all they did was skip school that we know of was skip school together?
So what exactly was the dilemma then? So, like, they skipped school together, and is he in trouble for that? Like, what was the dilemma?
So the dad found out, right?
Okay.
The school called the dad, and then so when she got home, he found out, and...
Oh, shit.
Made her block him on everything and no more contact.
Oh, they blame. I hate that shit.
So.
I got to ask, too, man. So now you are, I'm not going to lie, you said, what, there's 4 professional fighters in the state of South Dakota?
Oh, there's more than 4.
In MMA, or what you're doing, I guess.
At our gym, there's, you know, I would say around 4.
But basically, in your weight division that they're thinking about getting rid of, how many are in your division?
Well, so 155 and 170 are the weight classes that have the most people. Because if you think about it, like...
It's kind of the normal weight.
Average male size.
Sure.
So I would say the divisions with the least amount of people would be my division.
Sure.
And then
so you own that shit.
Also heavyweight.
You own that shit.
Yeah.
You own that shit.
There we go.
So that's cool about that. So I got to know, dude. So like all of a sudden you go from amateur, you fucking kill it there. You're a pro fighter. You got this Bellator stuff. All right, how much pussy do you get? Like, does the pussy just start rolling in once you start fighting? Because girls got to dig that.
Well, I started dating a girl right before my first ever pro fight.
So you found a good one then. Not one of these girls who are like, I'm dating a professional fighter.
Yeah, one of the ones, not a roadie.
You found a legit girl. That's good though, dude. Because
she was on
soon,
you before you.
As soon as you put that shit out there on Facebook, blah, 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 I am now a professional fighter. That's just pretty much just asking every girl out there to kind of get up on your shit. So, but I got to ask, did it happen? Did it help? You're obviously in a relationship. Let's get personal.
You know, I think fighting does help with women. I think
that's awesome. Think? I love it.
I have a lot of teammates, I just have known a lot of fighters, and not so much at my gym because a lot of the people at my gym take it real serious. And they have, you know, big aspirations and
sure, that's great.
But there's a lot of fighters who are kind of just in it for...
Just for the pussy.
Just for the pussy.
It's kind of like joining a rock band. Like I'm going to be in a band now, so I'm going to start playing guitar, start singing. Just like, there's two reasons. Either you love music or you want to get some pussy.
Yeah.
Is it the same way for fighting? Like, I'm going to get into fighting because I love to fight, or I want to get some girls.
I definitely think... And the thing is, those guys don't last very long because...
Sure.
There's going to be a lot of
shit. They got what they wanted out of it, though. So they're like, they joined it. They got a chick, and they're like, okay, I'm good. Instead of going to the gym to train, I'm going to fuck. You know what I mean? So that's what it is. So I kind of think we're getting closer to our title, ladies and gentlemen. The wise listeners that are out there, we're actually trying to figure out a good title. There's a couple of them that we can't use because he does work for a high school. But thinking kind of in the lines of, like, you know, the MMA fighters, why some join? Do you join for pussy? Do you join for the love of it? And I could legitimately tell, and obviously you're a pro fighter, you join because it's your sport. You enjoy what you do.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I'm somebody...
I just joined for the sweaty man everywhere.
That's why Eric has such a mad boner
awesome.
Over you.
Yeah. I wrestle a lot of sweaty dudes on a consistent basis.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah, and that's what that comes with the territory, though, right? I mean, like, you guys are two alpha males just going at each other. And, like, do fights break out in your guys' gym, or does that shit get, like, stopped immediately?
That's weird, because I'm not to break it, but I was just thinking about that earlier. It's like, I was thinking to myself, because I was thinking a lot about the podcast all day, and I was watching a lot of shit on YouTube and everything. And I thought to myself, I wonder how often...
Does it happen?
Yeah.
It's gotta.
Well, so Fridays are hard sparring days. We do a lot of sparring, but we have a good system where, like, during the week it's light sparring. So you're trying to hit each other, but it's like tap tap. You know, you're just
trying
working
to fuck
technique.
Kind of like the quarterback has that yellow jersey on, but you can still kind of hit him.
You're still running plays, still working on stuff.
Sure.
And then Friday is kind of the designated, like, all right, these are going to be harder rounds. And
so people take it like, hey, dude, you have to fucking hit me that hard, or you didn't do this, and then they go off.
Well, yeah, that's how it usually happens.
You guys are fighters. You guys are fucking fighters. At the end of the day, you guys are fighters. So you have that part in your brain that ain't normal. Like, who the fuck wants to get hit all the time?
Yeah.
And I respect that, though. So you guys already have that in your head of like, hey, I'm going to fight, I'm going to hit, I'm going to whatever, and you like it. You want it. So, like, it shit's got to pop off.
Yeah. Well... What ends up happening is you're going, and it's like you're going at 70%, and then one guy hits the other guy at 80%, and then he doesn't like that, so he wants to get him back, and
so
then
hits him at 90%.
It'll escalate, and you know, a lot of times, you know, it happens a lot,
and they hug it out.
What's nice is we have a coach that kind of like looks out for that and could maybe pull it out,
see it
pull it back if it gets too crazy.
You can see that shit coming. Has that happened to you? Have you ever gotten out in practice and you didn't like that shit?
Oh, yeah, a lot. I think everybody goes through that, and it's a learning process because, you know, just as human beings, you're emotional and you're competitive. And
definitely.
I've seen this, but that's great. That's a great segue, kind of like me and you were talking about earlier. I've seen this motherfucker in action. And
yeah,
you know,
so I
just,
mean, you guys,
it's
again,
fucking crazy.
For the wise listeners, they do work in kind of a live action. The bar, I'm not going to say that name, but the bar you guys work at, It's probably the biggest one in Sioux Falls, right? As far as it goes?
Yeah, I think it's definitely. The classiest
And it's
one.
Definitely the most busy. Oh, when you yeah. walk into that bar, it's fucking just shoulder to shoulder, $9 beer night, expensive as shit. Then you go in there, and you, how many guys do you have going at the time?
On Fridays and Saturdays, we usually have around a dozen.
Yeah. yeah.
Wow. And so do you guys have headsets? How do you guys all get called? You got headsets?
They're
so
all
it's like, hey, shit's popping up over here at the blah, 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 yep. and you guys swarm?
And we have so many people on the first floor and so many people on the second floor. What'd
you see?
The second floor is the shit show.
Because everybody's dancing up there, right? And that's where everybody's touching
and
grinding.
It's so fucking packed up there. It's
baby grind on me.
But anyways, so, we were working up there this, kind of was a few weeks ago.
Real Bell story? When he,
yeah, this he is the story. It's like, we're just one of the
is
times.
Is this where you got your first boner for him? Or is this
a little
like,
bit. But we were up there, and all of a sudden I see Big Rob run by, and Robel is always the first motherfucker the Big Rob calls. No matter what the
fuck
situation.
Yeah, dude. That's
it's pretty dope.
Like, come
it's
on,
like,
there's only so many professional fighters.
It's pretty cool. And it's like, he goes up there, and this chick had gotten fucking punched in the fucking head on stage by another dude. Did you ever hear the whole story about that?
Well, yeah, I saw the footage.
Yeah, because
of this.
He was like fucking with this other dude. And started swinging on him, not knowing that his boys were right behind him. And they started beating his ass. And then he somehow squirreled his way out of there. And they were all kind of back. And this fucking chick was the only one that was left there standing in front of him. So he fucking nails the chick in the fucking head. She's just fucking standing there. And then you can see
just
on the,
dancing, having a good time.
And just gets hit.
And he just stands up like this, and he's like,
was she literally
looking
like,
and he just fucking plows her right in the
side
of
like
the fucking
up,
head.
Was she hitting like on the time where like, what was going on? Like, did she, was that, were they dating?
No, I don't even fucking think he knew the chick.
No, this guy just kind of, he just started closing his eyes and swinging at anything
oh
near
my
him.
God. What? So you guys deal with that all the time. That's another hard job for you guys though too. Like, sorry, I'm not brown. You two are badasses in a way. I mean, Robo way more than you are, Eric.
Oh,
or
yeah.
You know,
but
at the same time,
I can hold my own. But
so when you get up there, what do you do to defuse that situation?
Well, he would already gone by the time we got up there.
So you Supermaned in there, like, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. All that was left was just the chick was just knocked out on the
oh,
stage.
She got knocked out.
Yeah, dude, she was knocked the fuck and just laying in this pile of gross and. God
so
bless Robel. He's down on his motherfucking knees with this chick, and I'm like, oh, fucking
being
just
a fighter
this
too.
Gross shit. Well, anyways, that leads up to my story because there's this fucking dude who was dancing up there, and Big Rob's standing over. Robel's down, just talking to this chick and whatnot, and I'm standing behind him, making sure nobody comes back up on the fucking stage because we got it cleared off. We want to keep the fucking people out of there in case we need to get the paramedics or woover the fuck up there. Anyways, long story short is, this dude jumps over the railing, and like I was telling you before, before his goddamn feet hit the ground,
so
Robel was up, standing from a kneeling position up in this guy's face, and I was like,
yeah.
I have not seen anybody move that fast.
He's like fucking Spider-Man,
time,
dude.
And I mean, not like I'm sitting here sucking your dick.
Oh,
it's
you
like,
are.
I recognize fucking talent. I
no,
love watching
real,
fighting
though.
Because,
when
like I was
see,
saying before, it's like
yeah.
it's like watching a,
wow.
a perfect ballet.
So
like
he fucking just like went over, and then Robel was like right fucking
I
there.
I mean, didn't is like. He didn't even look up.
Was
this
second
like,
nature to you too? You're just like bam, or what? Like, what was your mindset there?
He probably don't even remember it, do you?
I think I just was like so shocked that this chick was knocked out, and then we had the stage cleared. That like I was.
Does that anger you as being a fighter too? Like, where's this motherfucker at? You know what I mean? Like, you know.
Oh, I got a story about that one too. This
well,
motherfucker.
Okay.
It was like the weekend after Halloween. I was working the back door, and you were upstairs.
You're always working the back door.
Fucking right, baby. You know better than anybody. And Robel was upstairs. And all of a sudden, it was me and fucking Jason. All of a sudden, we hear this fucking, and it was the end of the night, too, because the lights were on. This fucking yelling and screaming. And then Jason looks up there. He's like, I'll go. I said, yeah, I'm going up there. Fucking head up there. Coming down the back stairs, Robel is pushing. There's this fucking country dude to,
oh, God.
Like,
that's
maybe late 30s, early 40s chicks. They're dressed pretty nice. And this short fucking gray-haired bastard that's fucking sitting there calling Rebel everything but the fucking kitchen sink. And I'm just, I was amazed that he made it that far downstairs. And then when we got downstairs, I was walking right behind Rebel. The one chick's husband said, fuck this shit, these bitches are crazy, and rolled the fuck out. Which I was like, you're the smartest motherfucker in this group.
So what happened?
The other dude was sitting there backing down. So we get him out the fucking door, and this stupid bitch throws her fucking drink. It deflects off the fucking door, totally douses me, and gets fucking Robel all. So we're fucking wet. That's his second fucking time, because the whole thing started because the stupid bitch just randomly dumped a fucking drink on you, didn't she?
What?
Wasn't that the fucking deal? Yeah. Just Robel wasn't doing nothing but fucking standing there.
You guys should get hazard pay. Should get hazard pay.
And these, and this motherfucker was, it's like, and Rebel went out there. Abel wasn't there. I wasn't holding you back.
I got to know, too. So, like, when you're a bouncer and you're doing all security, when you're working security,
I don't care.
How much racism do you run into? By the way, for the listeners, you guys will obviously and stuff, you know, he's a black guy. What do you deal with? Do you deal with that shit? Because we're in South, by the way, to the wise listeners, I know a lot of you are in California, a lot of you in Arizona, a lot of you in Nevada. Where we live, it's not like where y'all are at. There's some fucking racism around here. And it, you know what I mean? Like, I obviously can't speak to it because I'm white. But when it comes down to it, like, it's real. I see it all the time, you know? So speaking on that, how do you deal with that at all?
Well, I think that was, like, the one situation with, like, you know, just outward racism. But
so stupid.
It's, like, it's kind of funny because anybody that gets kicked out, like, assumes it's because of, like, whatever race they are.
Keep doing it. Yeah, keep saying that. Yeah, okay, so, like, if a group of black dudes get kicked out, they're like, oh, because I'm black, or Asians, I'm Asian, or whites because I'm privileged. Mm-hmm. So, no, but be real. Like, so that's, and I love to hear, this is real fucking talk, you know? And so, like, so, but if you're the one kicking them out, can you be like, well, dude, I'm black, I'm kicking you out. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know?
And sometimes I'm just like, or like, you know, it might be a different race, and it's just like,
and you're like, no,
dude, I'm black.
And no, not only that, it's like, no, you fucked up. Like, you know, you were too drunk. No, you did this. Like, I would kick you out if you were fucking blue.
You cannot rationalize with drunk people. You get, you cannot.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, and then the fucked up part about it is when you first start doing this shit is you try.
Yeah, you try to be nice.
You just, after the first couple, about two or three, you just get to the point where it's like, fuck you, get out. I'm not answering your fucking stupid questions.
Is that stressful at the end of the day?
Huh?
Is it stressful, or do you guys have kind of like a complex? Like,
I honestly enjoy it. When I get the opportunity to...
Oh, because, well, Eric's going through his midlife crisis right now. But thing is, though, he's killing it. He lost 100 pounds.
Not
quite. He's fucking, you know...
81.
Yours work security at a bar, and you're killing it now. And I think so. You're just used to being dad at home, and your wife fucking telling you, do this, bitch, you do this, bitch. And now you get to go to the bar, and you're the man now. You're the fucking man.
Well, I'm not necessarily the man. I just like, I love working at
the bar.
The bar.
The pit.
I love working.
We
I
have
love working
not where... said the full fucking word yet. Thank you guys for that, because I don't have to edit that shit. So,
but yeah, right. I love working there.
Where'd you grow up?
I was born in Michigan, but...
How long were you there?
Not long.
We
moved a lot, but then from preschool on, I've been in Sioux Falls pretty much.
Oh, okay. So, like, you're right here. You're in it to win it the whole time. What are your parents worked in Sioux Falls, both of them?
Yep.
Cool, cool.
Yep.
And so you went to university? You went to college?
I went to Briarcliff for a year.
What's that?
That's in Sioux City, Iowa. It's a little NAIA school. It's like a little Catholic school.
Did you do it for sports or just to go?
Just for wrestling.
Oh, so you did go for wrestling. So you wrestled collegiately.
Yep.
Very cool.
And then I only spent a year there. I really liked the team. Sioux City kind of sucks.
It's disgusting. Yeah. It smells like shit.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
It's not a fun city.
It's
sorry,
gross.
Sioux City.
Nah, it's all good. Yeah, we have some Sioux City listeners and someone, you know, friends. But when it comes down to it, though, they know it.
They
know
have
it
a
too.
They have a place called Lawas, which is like are Gilberto's.
You know? Fuck yeah.
Gilly's. Oh.
Yeah, so
and not only that, Sioux City has probably the best Mexican food around there because most of the city there is, like, it's got to be like 40% Hispanic.
Where is this, Sioux City?
Sioux City, yeah. Yeah. They just packed. There's a lot of marquitas everywhere. It's bomb. So, okay, so you go there. So you wrestled collegiately, and you started when you were a sophomore?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's yeah, I was awesome. I was a late bloomer.
You could be like the Michael Jordan of MMA.
So what was your high school record? How'd you do?
My sophomore year, I was awful.
Learning.
You know, I got put on varsity because I was like the only kid in that weight class.
Right.
And then I think I went 1-11 and I got pinned every match I lost. And my sophomore year was ended short because I broke my ankle in the middle of a match, where if I would have kept wrestling that match, I would have won that match, and then I would have had to wrestle this girl named Sarara Mix, and she would have kicked my ass. She had been wrestling for a long time.
That's awesome.
I was so nervous to wrestle her, so it was almost like a blessing in disguise that I broke my ankle.
Shit. You have a question?
I want to wrestle chicks.
Yeah, I know, right? That's fucking cool, though. So
they're
like
mean. Wrestler chicks are mean. You don't want to wrestle.
Oh, no shit. I was telling my wife the other day.
That's awesome.
They always think that.
Favorite story.
Like, if you were to, now, just going by, who would you say you think would cause the most ruckus in a bar, gets thrown out of the bar the most? What type of person?
Oh, it's definitely probably a Hispanic girl. Because I grew up with Hispanics.
Jordan?
I'm half Hispanic.
You don't get an answer because you know, Robel.
Jordan? Just talk into it.
Yeah, that's a microphone. You're talking to that shit. Rub it around on your face a little bit.
Do you have an answer?
I've seen some white guys get pretty rowdy.
Okay, so he's going like the white tweaker guy, like the Walter Whites?
No, I'm talking about like the redneck that... Like the redneck that's there with this girl, and some she starts dancing with some other guy while he's getting drinks.
All right, so what's the answer?
For me, the worst are drunk white bitches.
Oh, jeez. So settled down, bro.
Straight up, they are the fucking worst. They're like...
This will not be our sponsored video. So really, I can see that. What about you, Robel?
I can say drunk white bitches.
He's like, no, I can't.
I think everybody is bad, you know.
Oh, but I like that answer.
I think
that's a political answer.
Women
though
are the hardest to deal with because you can't.
They don't give a shit.
You
they
can't get
you can't
physical
them
with them, and
they're always right.
Whereas with like guys, you like aren't worried about just like, all right, I'm gonna just grab you and lead you to the door.
Sure. Where,
yeah. Yeah, you can get that. That's one benefit. And most dudes, you know, the surprise of it is that most of the guys that I've had to throw out, you think, because I go up to them and I just fucking grab them, you think they're going to give you shit. A lot of them tense up a little bit, but then they look at you and a lot of them cool the fuck out. I don't know if it's like that for you, but a lot of times once you fucking grab them and they know you're serious, they're like, they chill the fuck out a little bit.
Damn. So... On this second portion of what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break. We're going to insert a commercial here, and we are going to, I just had, and I know Eric also had a question or a couple questions. I wanted to also learn about what's coming up next for you, what your next fights are going to be, what you're planning on and all that good stuff. We're going to take a quick break and we're back. So we kind of talked a little bit on the break, and we're kind of going over some of the stuff that you have in the future, Robel. So you're 2-2 right now. What are the plans going forward now? You're regrouping. Now, did you have two losses in a row, or how'd that happen?
It went win-loss, win-loss. So okay. I'm coming off a loss. It was a fight that I learned a bunch. And, yeah, I'm coaching wrestling right now, so I'm focusing a lot on that. But I'm still training every day. I'm still getting in my rounds. And
do you have a fight coming up or anything planned?
I have nothing planned. I'm kind of tentatively thinking early next year, so January, February.
Very cool. So you're going to take some time, kind of regroup. And so it was like one win, one loss, one win, one loss, right?
Yeah.
So you said, okay. Now you're not quitting, right? I mean, you're going forward. You're doing your thing still. Or what's your plans in life? You know, like the reality of things.
Yeah, I'm staying on this. I'm gonna keep going.
Fucking better, goddamn.
I really hope you do, man, because a lot of the tape.
I can't kick your ass, but I'll write you a really long email.
That's a little thing, though, too. Like, I really do hope you stick with it because, you know, looking and you have all the opportunities with being in the weight division you're in and stuff like that and being able to move forward. Like, you know, like you said, there's
not
what,
really,
four
though,
of you?
Because the UFC is thinking about taking that opportunity away.
That's right. Are you going to move up a weight?
Nope, I'm probably going to stay as a flyweight.
So you're going to make them move for you then?
No, I'm just, you know, after they get rid of it, there's going to be another organization that's going to pick the flyweights.
So do you think that, now, and maybe you answered this question already, but do you think that, does Bellator currently have a flyweight division? Or
nope, they don't actually, but I think they're potentially an organization that will do it. They let me fight for them as a flyweight, but it was just a one fight deal. And
do you think you could revamp like the weight class? Like, let's just say you go in there and you're just like this cocky fuck, you know what I mean? Or like, because there has to be showmanship in it, right? You got to sell tickets on top of being a fighter, right?
Yeah, it's definitely part of it. And you know, I think there probably will be times where I'm gonna have to talk smack to people or whatever and get people interested into the actual fight. But right now I just need a fight and I need to, you know, get some wins.
Are you hungry? Are you hungry for it? Like, are you, will you want to go? Like, you really there? Right, when it's like, are you, you said next year. Well, I didn't, and when you say next year, that sounds so far away, but it's only fucking 2 months.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's gonna go by like shot, I bet.
I'm training hard right now. I have teammates that are fighting. I have a teammate fighting on December 14th. And
I love how you talk about it like that, because does that mean like you are supporting them, like almost like you have a fight, like you guys support each other? Like,
yeah,
that.
Yep.
That's sick.
They push me and I push them, and because you need good teammates, otherwise you can't really train for a fight, and you need people that'll push you without hurting you before your fight too.
That's sick. And us here at the Wise Guys Podcast, we're also a team, and we have a little something that we like to do with everybody that comes in on the show.
We do.
We have a bottle full of Hen now for the wise listeners that came, and they did throw a comment on YouTube. They have also sent us emails and stuff like that. They always say, hey, they got a bottle full of Hennessy on the corner over there. It's like, well, duh.
We do.
This is our thing, because you could hear it go like this. And so it is tradition on the show to take a shot of Hennessy. Now, you don't have to. But you're a fighter, so come, don't come on. Don't.
He's going to fucking do it.
So here you go. So we do it to take a shot of Hen, just to kind of say also, thank you. Thanks for coming on. Interview's not over yet, but I'd like to see what a shot of Hen does. A little 3-2-1, and oh, damn, he took a fucking man pull. See,
that's,
you see
right.
How he drank like that?
About.
He took a fucking man pull, like straight up. You have the cap over there. A lot of people come on, they'll just take like a little bitch sip, like, hey, I'll chase Manguel, you fucking asshole. He came on, he's like, takes a little sip, he goes, ew, oh, this is gross.
He got his pinky up and shit. This is not the balance thing.
So that's tradition there.
Just fucking with a chase. Love you.
I'm not. Fuck you. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Well, so going forward, so we talked about the fights you have coming up. We have you kind of have a nice plan set out in front of you. You're following as a team. Now, getting even more personal into it, so since you're a pro fighter, do you still have to pay your dues, pay your gym memberships, all that stuff, or do they sponsor you?
I also coach at my gym, so.
Nice.
As a pro fighters get a reduced rate, and then.
Very cool.
I coach, so I.
And it's completely open for anybody to join.
Yeah. Yep.
Where are you guys located?
We're near downtown Sioux Falls.
Downtown Sioux Falls.
A couple minutes. It's right next to Nikki's Burrito Express.
Jordan, why don't you look up what's the gym called again?
Next Edge Academy.
Jordan, look up Next Edge Academy. Look up their phone number. Look up their address, because I want to plug this gym. The reason why is because we're sitting here talking to Robel, and it's so like. It feels good to see somebody be like, you know, I don't have a fight in 2 months, but like my brother does, you know, in the sense of like you guys all fight together. So you guys are a tight knit group. And it's like, you know, but they've got a fight coming up. I'm going to be there to support him. I'm there sparring with him. So it's almost like your fight. So what's cool about that, they'd be there right there for you too. So Next Edge Academy is at 909 East.
Good. Lord.
Right. Great job. 909 East 8th Street. And that's in Sioux Falls. It looks like a great gym. It's really cool because just, you know, talking with him and seeing everything that goes on there, it just seems like Do you have anything negative to say about the place at all? I mean, like, it just seems like it's just a really good overall brotherhood over there. When you look on the website, you see Robel's picture immediately when you go on there, so that adds some cred. The phone number is 605-321-6105. They have kid classes, is that correct?
Yep, they got kids jiu-jitsu.
That's sweet. And then they have, then obviously, so they do say that they have an open door policy here. So we're not a fighter-only gym. We're a gym for everyone. So
yeah, that's one of the things I wanted to get onto is that it's not just...
What does that exactly mean?
For fighters only, I think.
It's just...
Not,
you know,
for...
I think MMA gyms have this persona of, like, the super tough, mean guys, and it's kind of a place where it's just... If you want to learn and you want to get better at martial arts, like, you leave your ego at the door.
Nice. That's very cool, because I'll be honest with you, like, I've always thought about doing something like that, and I played collegiate football, and I'm like, you know, I'd love to go in there and, like, train or whatever, but I'm like, it's like what you said, like, am I going to go in there and people are going to look down on me, like, oh, look at this fucking dude, blah, 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 and like, oh, now he wants to try to fight, like, I'm going to go whoop his ass. I think a lot of people have that thought in their head, right? You know?
Oh, yeah.
And here it's not like that then.
Yeah, no. And it's cool, because, I mean, anybody could be good at fighting, and anybody could fight if you put the time in and you learn and you take advice from people and
always be learning.
Yeah,
very cool. So that was a nice plug there on the gym there, guys. So we so you are definitely a product. You're the product of that gym, wouldn't you say?
There, bud. Hey there, bud.
You're a product of that gym. So, and then getting more personal with it, so you started fighting, you got the girl. Before you became pro, how long have you been dating your current woman?
A little over a year.
A little over a year now.
Maybe a year and some change.
Nice, nice. So, and you in love? Are you gonna get married? Are you like, I'm gonna get married in like 5 years? Like, what's the what is it there? This is where he's gonna look at me and go, cut this shit, motherfucker. Don't fucking.
I'd say we're in love.
Yeah.
That's
perfect.
Does she know that?
I'm sure she does.
Yeah, but... She knows.
Oh, she knows. She knows.
She knows. She knows.
She knows. She knows. She
knows. I'm just fucking with you. Go ahead.
But she's super supportive of this.
That's great.
So she knows, like,
that's awesome.
A majority of my time is spent, like, focused on fighting. And
right. So she's got to be behind you. Like, she's almost in it with you.
Yeah. You're kind of forced to be.
Yeah, and then, too, like, when you lose, she loses, right? Because she has to deal with your ass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think when I lose, I feel like a lot of people lose. I feel like my coaches feel it. I feel it kind of in my teammates, and, yeah.
Right.
Have you ever lost a relationship due to your career choice?
Yeah, like, had to choose, like, well, are we going to go on this date tonight, Robel, or are you going to go to the fucking gym again? You
know, well, not even that. Well, it could be a lot of that, but it's like, because they're just either A, they're so much against the violence portrayed, or B,
I'm sure you wouldn't be with
they're worried about you getting your face bashed. Well, I'm sure
you run into anything negative.
Anybody's.
Yeah.
Concerned about you getting your face beaten, sure. But you know,
so what
it's
have
like,
what have you dealt with then? Like, have you dealt with that at all?
Too much over anxious, I think.
Not in relationships, but you know, I have some awesome parents that, you know, love me.
Oh, I'm sure your mom is just a wreck.
She is so worrisome.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, my mom didn't want me to play football either and all that stuff. So when your mom's out there seeing you get hit, she's like, ugh, she takes the hits with you.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because, like I said, I started wrestling my sophomore year, and I would have started my freshman year, except for my mom didn't want me to wrestle because she said it was... She thought it was like WWE type stuff.
You're the steel cage.
That's awesome.
Off the top rope, round the rope, pal. Here comes.
And she was like, "I don't want you doing any of that fighting stuff."
Oh, then, so crazy. You know, it's funny. My mom didn't want to buy me football cleats either because she's like, "You're gonna break your leg," and your mom just play baseball.
Shout out to moms too, because when I was younger, my mom was the one who carted my ass around all of my wrestling matches.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's funny, too, because those are the ones that want to keep you out of sports, but once you get in them, they're, like, with
you
everywhere,
they're like,
wearing your pins and do this, that.
Does
so
your,
like,
mom watch the fights live while you're fighting? Or?
They go to them. They go
yep,
to fight.
Yep, they've supported me. I almost don't like it. Like,
why?
Of all people.
Well, why, though?
I just... having, I don't want my mom to see me get hit, and I don't want that to be something I think about.
So what happens when, so it could be distracting.
Yeah, it could really? Just be like, yeah, because everybody else, I mean, I don't really care,
sure.
You know, their opinion, but I know how much my mom worries, so I'm like...
It's kind of sweet at the same time. So
I'm a little mama's boy.
Dude, I hear you, bro, me too. So when it comes down, though, to it, so when your mom's there, but what about a win? When you win after that, is your mom first right there like, you go, boy, you got, you know what I mean? Like, would you be like,
she's still
that's for you, mom, you know what I mean? That type shit.
Or she's still just a ball of nerves. Still sitting.
She's just happy that I'm... Okay.
Yeah. So she could give a shit if you lost or won. She just want to make sure you're not fucking brain dead.
Have you ever been knocked out?
I have been TKO'd. I took a head kick.
That's a great question.
And it completely rocked me, but I wasn't out cold.
Was this during an actual sanctioned fight, or was it a sparring match?
Yep,
or?
Sanctioned fight. So I have been rocked in sparring, though.
Oh, I'm unexpectedly. Sure
everybody is. That comes with the territory, right? Like, you're going to get fucking hit like that.
But you've never been knocked out cold.
No.
So when you took that kick to the face, you just got fucking landed to the ground then, and basically you're just kind of like, you were awake, but you're done type deal? How does that work?
Yeah, you're just, you're disoriented. You don't know, like, kind of, what happened, and then it just you know the rest steps in, and
that's
then...
where I say you guys are fucking just like, you got something different in your brain, like, that's cool though, like, because you guys are like, you're badasses in the sense of like modern day gladiators.
Mm-hmm.
Back in what, the eights, way farther than that, 1700s, 1500s, like, they had these, you know, the gladiators, you know, they'd fight fucking lions, and they'd to the death, they'd have swords, they'd go beat the shit out of each other. That's what you guys are still doing. So, like, when you go into that ring and you're fighting, it's almost like, do you ever get in the mentality of, like, I'm going to fight for my life right now? Like, as if I'm going to die. Like, I'm going to fight for my life.
Yeah, that's what it is. There, a one bad move and you could get permanent damage, you know?
Sure.
There's guys that have been hit in just the right places and aren't able to see out of one eye, you know? So it's something that you got to take... extremely serious. And
do you ever is that on you block that out, right, when you fight?
When I fight, yeah. And yeah, when you're fighting, your goal is to be in the moment, and
sure.
So like, I try to be just as calm as I can, you know. You just think of it as a positive thing, like, I get an opportunity to put all this training that I, you know, I spent the last 8 weeks focused on this. Now I have an opportunity to show everybody the stuff I've been working on.
And everybody in life, too. Like, only so many people can say, like, I'm an amateur of this. I do this. I'm this. But, like...
I know exactly what you're... A lot of people...
You can go out there and say, no, I'm a professional fighter. Only so many people can say that.
Yeah, even
you
know if
I mean?
You never
And I'm not
do
trying
it
to make your head bigger to get the fuck out of this door when you leave. But you know what I mean? Like, that's fucking...
That's great point that you hit on, Mark.
That's
I love
insane,
that. That's
insane, though. Like, to think about that. Like, a lot of people can say, hey, I did this in life. I did this in life or whatever. But, like, when you tell your kids, your grandkids or whatever, like, I was a professional fighter. Like, what do you mean? You fought grandpa? Like, no, I was a fucking pro fighter. Like, I have a professional record. It was sanctioned real fights. That's really cool, man. That's fucking really awesome. When you think about stuff like that, where does your head go? Do you just want to work harder to, like, embrace that? Like, you don't want to discredit that? Like, where's your head at on that?
I think, you know, I remember wanting to have a pro fight to be able to be like, this is how serious I am about this. I'm a professional fighter. But since becoming a professional fighter, it's not something I really think about it. Like, I still just am chasing this goal of just trying to be the best fighter I can be. And whether that be amateurs or professionals.
And I saw one of your interviews. I think that was a Next Edge Academy, your Bellator interview. If you guys go check that out, you can go to Next Edge Academy on YouTube. Type that in. Type in Robel Tesfoldo.
I'll just say it from here from now on.
Go ahead.
Whenever you need to say his name, just...
Robel
Tesfoldo.
So when you spell it out, it's T-E-S-F-A-I or F-A-L-D-E-T. You'll see it when we post it, obviously. But it's Bellator interview. My first impression of it, when you said, like, you know, what your goals are, you're like, my goal is to be the champion, you know, and I was like, didn't really believe you. And then when I saw you fighting, I'm like, okay, I get it. Because, like, the way you said it came off, like, when you expect, so I'm going to be the champion, you know, like, full of all this bullshit. But, like, your personality even goes into the octagon. Like, the way you said it calmly, like, I'm going to be the champion. And then when I watched you fight, I was like, oh, I get it now. Like, you're not fake. You're not like, I'm going to pump this up right here and be like, I'm going to be the fucking champ. I'm going to be whatever. And then in the ring, it's just like this completely other dude. You are the same. And that's why you're a professional fighter. Because a lot of amateurs can be like, oh, I kick this guy's ass. I'm going to kick his ass. This blah, blah, blah. But you're like, no, I'm going to be the champion. And I'm going to, like, it just translates. You know what I mean? And again, I feel like I'm sucking his dick now. But when it comes down to it, I mean, it's the truth.
I mean, well, it's kind of hard not to. I'm being honest with you because, I mean, you watch him fight and stuff like that. And then, honestly, Robel, the reason why I like you and wanted to get you on this podcast is because I saw the fights and I worked with you a lot. You're a super fucking nice guy. I
mean, oh, yeah. Stand-up dude.
Honestly, probably one of the nicest dudes. Yeah, I think you were honestly like the first one I met when I came through the door. Just nicest fucking dude you ever met. Had he not told me, I would not have guessed he was a professional fighter. But
yeah, what is your stature, man? How tall are you?
5'3".
5'3"? What's your weight?
I would probably weigh like 130 something.
Yeah, right, and like just with the moves that he knows, just but ass. You know what I mean?
But and then this is the thing about it. It's like as soon as I found out that he was a pro fighter, because I worked with him that night, it's like that your respect level goes from where it is like normal dude up here.
Because and that could be knocked down though. So like if he would have came off as a huge prick, like, hey, yeah, dude, fuck, I'm a professional fighter, blah, 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 then it would have right back down. But in talking to you, you're not that way. You know what I mean? And do you learn a lot of that at your gym? Do you guys go over that? Like, is pride a really big thing at your gym?
It's not being an asshole.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's just,
I think that's just part of your nature. You're just,
does it come down to the guy or are you also taught that too?
I think you just, through martial arts, you kind of learn that because, like, you can't really get good at it if you don't, like, get rid of the ego. Because if you still have an ego, then you're not going to put in the time to work on the technique and you're just going to be...
You think, oh, just because I'm bigger than this dude or just because I know more than this guy, I'm just going to kick his ass.
He just, right. You just never have struck me as... as being a dick, ever.
Yeah, like
I've never ever got that impression. And not, I could be wrong because I've been known to be
wrong
an asshole
time,
myself. Oh, like, right. No. But it's like you have never ever once called you the most laid back motherfucker, and that's why I think you're gonna go a long ways in this sport.
Do you turn that over into coaching? Do you push that into your kids too? Like, hey, like if you see a kid acting like a dick or cocky, or are you just like, hey, man, come on, like chill the fuck out.
I try to a little bit. I think, you know, especially at that young age, like
they need it a little bit. They need to have their asses kicked a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. And sometimes they need to have that like confidence too.
Sure.
You don't want to like,
that's a good thing to
ruin
have.
Somebody. There's arrogance and then there's confidence. And there's this line where you try not to go past it. And it's a real tricky line to.
God, he's so fucking professional and like real and adult. Like, it's so hard because our podcast, like, you listen to a lot of them, like, granted,
we don't adult at all.
But we fucking talk about all this blah, 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 and shit. Like, and that's what we have.
The worst part is I'm the oldest motherfucker. I'm probably the worst.
We have tons of interviewees.
I'm like a small fucking child lost in a fucking grocery store.
We're going to have a bunch more guys come in.
See them fucking oranges over there.
We have a bunch more interviews set up and shit like that, too. But, like, when it's just us, you know, we talk about that. But I love that because it's so right. There's a difference between being confident and an arrogant fuck. You know what I mean? But you need it. Like, you look at Conor McGregor, right? And I hate that we always go back to him. But, like,
I like.
Well, he's a very influencing, like, fighter. There's a lot of people that weren't into MMA until they saw Conor McGregor.
I'm that guy. Like, to be honest with you, and no disrespect to your sport or anything, I'm a huge boxing fan. Like, I love boxing.
We've had this discussion.
I love boxing, too.
I do, too.
I'm not an MMA. Like, I'm not a fan. I don't really like it, but I fucking respect it.
Yeah.
So there's a difference between being like, oh, fuck that, blah, blah, blah. But, like, for boxing, I feel like it's more of a, and don't kill me, but I feel like, and you could even come at me, not physically. But I'm like, I feel like boxing is more of a sport than MMA. What do you think? Like, you know what I mean? Because, like, when you're boxing, you score points. You
if,
move.
If MMA weren't a sport.
I asked the professional fighter.
Oh, fuck you, man. I thought this was a question for the.
No, it's question a question for
the fucking group, and Jordan never says shit. So I just figured we'll fucking go for
I gotta know, Robust. So, like, what is your thought on that?
I think, you know, you're partially right in that MMA is more. Is the closest thing to like real fighting out there. You know, there's in boxing, there's rules. You can't kick somebody. You can't wrestle somebody. In wrestling, there's rules. You can't elbow somebody. You can't punch somebody. In karate, there's rules. You can't hit somebody to the head. No punches to the head. Right. And MMA is the closest thing to real fighting. But it's a sport in that like, you got to train just the same way as boxers train. You got to train every day. You got to do all this extra stuff. You got to do nutrition. You got to do all these, you know, you got to lift weights, run sprints.
Why is boxing, though, like, why do they make more money? Like, well, you know what I mean? Like, and I think that's going to change, though.
Yeah.
Probably because Floyd's out. You know, who the fuck's up next? But, like, why do boxers get fucking 400 million and MMA fighters get four?
So the spectrum in boxing, I think in the big promotions, if you're the top dog, you're getting money. If you're Floyd Mayweather, you're getting even like just the decent names are making.
Think once Pacquiao goes, I think it'll be the last, I mean, kind of like the last legend of the fall, you know, because
until the next.
Because Mayweather's gone, Pacquiao's gone. I don't really. Are there any huge up and comers?
Yeah, but there's nobody that's at that level yet. But I think once those guys leave, there's going to be somebody that's coming up. Canelo is a guy that's coming up.
Canelo is my favorite fucking boxer, dude.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Back to Mark's thing about boxing and being more of a sport is like. I think MMA is more because you're combining multiple types of fighting in one versus boxing. You're moving around a lot and you're throwing jabs and trying to get points. But with MMA, it's like combination of wrestling and all fighting and just fighting in general.
And there's points.
It's more of a whole sport.
Yeah, and there's points in MMA. Like if you take somebody down, then that's considered kind of like a point in boxing. You know, that's like. Landing a good combination on somebody if you pass their guard.
It's like a pastime, though, too, because, like, you know, when there's baseball, there's boxing, so you have, like, Muhammad Ali and the Yankees.
Right.
So it's kind of like, I think it was just, like, a longer thing, but I understand that, like, you obviously have to be, it's more about being, it's everything. It's well-rounded. You know, mm-hmm. You have wrestling, yeah, you have boxing, all of it.
And for my two cents, I would say, and it's neck and neck for me because I, like I said, I grew up boxing. Me and you have talked endlessly about boxing, yep. Mark, because we both grew up kind of on that shit. But just kind of watching the progression of MMA as well, I think that MMA has a slight edge for me, but I think, and I'm just going to say it out loud, pound for pound, I think that mixed martial artist athletes are superior to boxers.
Athletically or?
Athletically.
What's your thoughts on that?
I think.
Are you afraid to answer? Because people are going to listen.
No, I think.
I love boxers. Don't get me wrong. But
I got to know.
I think that.
Coming from the actual professional fighter, what's your thought on that? Like exactly what Eric said. Like he put it in a perfect sentence, you know?
In boxing, I think you can get away with a little more stuff. I think both sports have a lot of issues controlling performance-enhancing drugs.
Okay.
But the UFC is a little better.
Because
they have USADA, which is these guys that they come in randomly and they drug test fighters. And
if you follow Floyd Mayweather, though, have you seen how hard he pushes the drug tests for the people he fights?
Yeah.
He pushes
and that's,
it hard.
And that's because he knows and he doesn't want to lose to a guy that has been abusing steroids.
And he shouldn't. In my opinion, though, Let them all take steroids. Let baseball players take steroids. Let football players take steroids. I want to see a 500-foot fucking home run. I want to see a fucking running back get hit and have his head pop off. It's all, I'm serious. I want that entertainment, motherfucker. I don't care if you're going to do steroids. I get it. But it should be your choice. Do steroids or whatever, because let's be honest. All through sports, people did it. Respect. Okay, now, reverse talk. Don't do steroids because it's cheating and you should use your actual natural ability and not performance enhancing drugs.
Or,
you know,
or if you're going to do, if there was an agreement like, hey, we both can take steroids,
yeah,
then I think that's cool. But if right. one guy is fighting naturally
sure.
and this yep. other guy's taking steroids to.
That's what I'm saying too. So just make it legal. If you want to take them, go ahead. But then, like, everybody would. And then
I don't totally disagree with you, but I would say
your
with
body
there,
up, though,
there would
bad.
Have to be a high, high level of strict regulation, because it's I don't think you would necessarily make the problem any
worse. Like
the
NFL.
Worse.
Like the NFL, you take creatine, some shit, like some of that shit. The NFL ban list
oh, yeah.
is longer
it's
than.
Terrible. And I think a lot of that's right.
Those athletes, I feel like a majority, if you're in the NFL, I feel like you're taking something.
You had to. Think
I'm
about the competition,
sure
man.
You're
and they keep
right.
getting faster and stronger. It's like, how yes. the fuck this dude ran a 4.2, 4.40 in college at the beginning? Take him to the combine, he's running a 4.19? No.
Yeah,
you
no.
don't get older and faster. Like, you are on drugs, motherfucker.
Unless you're Warren Moon.
What the fuck? Warren Moon? Here yeah. we go. Eric is showing his age again.
Didn't he actually become a UFC fighter?
You guys don't even know who Warren Moon is. Garen fucking did.
Yeah.
Who's Warren? Do you guys know Warren?
Who's
no,
Warren?
They have no.
Who's Warren?
Fucking love
man,
you so
fuck
much.
All y'all. Look that up. Look that Here, up. And see
hey, old
Warren
man Rivers, let me get your fucking walker and take you back to the nursing home, douchebag.
Bitch, you call
this
yourself?
Is the, sure, this is the first thing he says.
This motherfucker calls himself a Vikings fan. You're sad.
That's true. If you are a Vikings fan, you need to know. I know Warren Moon is because I'm like the biggest NFL geek on the planet.
Right.
But
I knew you would know.
I know, because I'm also 31 years old. But here's the thing. I'm not that old yet. But Warren Moon, okay, he was a quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. Badass guy. He was actually one of the first black.
Oh.
Yeah, he was one of the first black quarterbacks.
Was he on, like, what's that Nintendo 64 football game?
Yeah, Dreamcast or whatever. What was it? God, I know what you're talking about.
Was it a Tecmo Bowl?
Something like that.
Was
but
it
he
Blitz?
Was
NFL Blitz?
NFL Blitz. And then
Blitz.
Randy Moss, remember that? When you would
yeah.
just lob it up to him and he'd get it? So anyways, Warren Moon was the first black quarterback to, like, do it all. Like, he's a fucking pioneer because he ran the ball. He pitched the ball off, ran a route, caught a touchdown. He's fucking one of the most athletic quarterbacks
oh, yeah.
out there. And I don't look up if Warren Moon is in the Football Hall of Fame, because if he's not, that's some racist bullshit.
I'm pretty sure he is.
They're putting
and
some
look
bullshit.
Up too. Look up too if he was, because I think he was a UFC fighter for a while and an MMA fighter
think,
for a
well,
while.
Brock Lesnar was. So
Brock
was,
Lesnar played. I think he played for the Vikings. Then he went
squad.
To. Then he went to the wrestling.
Greg
then
Hardy, or is that the NFL player that does MMA now?
Who? What was his name? Greg Hardy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. He got in there too. He's a fucking beast.
Yeah, he's the first.
So hold on. So let me see. What did we find out here? Oh, Warren Moon, right?
Yeah, Warren Moon was the first African American quarterback elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Nice. Yep, I knew it.
So that's huge, because how fucking athletic that fucking dude was fucking off the chain.
Oh, I
and
know.
I didn't even think he made it, because the fucking Hall of Fame shit is so fucking, like, biased. You know what I mean?
Another it's Viking just made it in last week.
To the pick.
No, to the Hall of Fame.
Who?
Randy Moss.
Oh, yeah. Fucking roll. You know the freak was getting in there. He's
oh, yeah.
fucking amazing. But, so.
Sorry, Robel. We get a little football sidetrack here. It happens. Feel free to throw in anything if you have anything.
Who's your team? Do you got a football team?
I used to be a Lions fan because I was born in Michigan.
So you're depressed all the time.
Yeah, they
like,
suck.
Fuck my fucking
and
life.
And then I just lost interest. I had nothing to defend myself in arguments.
No shit, it's like the core.
Dan, I really hope you listen to this episode.
Oh,
it's so bad.
We
have
got
a buddy of ours.
Yeah, he's a big fucking Lions
huge
fan.
Huge fucking Lions fan.
I told him too, because they had a Calvin Johnson, badass wide receiver. I'm like, You realize this Megatron. this is the first time it was cool to wear a Lions jersey since Barry Sanders. Yeah. Like it was like fucking 20.
I think he was wearing a Sanders jersey.
Yeah, it's like, because you can't ever yell at that. He's like, yeah, you got that, fuck buddy. No. That was your first fucking time that way anybody fucking positive Sanders. Played for you. But so fuck, man. I think kind of coming to an ending. So he took the shot of Hennessy like a man. He was here. You drove all the way from Sioux Falls. So how far of a drive was that for you? Like 20 minutes, 25 minutes?
Just 30 almost.
30. Right, how exactly. much gas did you use, you think? No, whatever. Yeah. I was going to say, give me some money back. No, I'm just kidding.
$1,000.
No, I wish we could give you more money, but we did give you as much as the Jordan beat up out of somebody outside of the gas station for you, though.
Yeah, I got some pizza out of it, too.
You got some pizza. You got some money. It worked out great. Yeah. I wanted to talk about real quick to the other podcasts you're on. They're really set up well. I wanted to do a quick shout out to the Kaiser Cast. So yep. If you want to let him know about it. That's great. We would love to collaborate or anything like that. And then, you were on.
Because we love covering the MMA fighter
yeah.
as well.
Yeah. He
and
just
we can
had
put our own
a
kind of flavor on it.
He just had a boxing coach at Next Edge Academy on his podcast today.
Very cool.
So.
I've actually, Kaiser Cast, if you guys ever listen, if you make it this far through the episode, I've watched your episodes. I actually threw
Why
a.
Why you got to say shit like that?
Well,
we got loyal listeners. Well, motherfucker, where's that confidence at?
We know that
if
our
you
listeners.
Make it this far through. If well, you haven't died. This far.
So our listeners listen this far, but I don't know if the Kaiser Cast guy will. But if you did, I actually threw a, we threw a comment on his last episode. Got to say, their setup's great. Like, we are under construction right now, so thank you for putting up with that, Robel. Because, like, when you come down here, we're obviously set up for great sound and everything like that, but we're still setting up, like, our whole put together. We're going to do the cameras and stuff. So, yeah. So going on those podcasts, what were those experiences like? You know what I mean? Like, I know they asked a bunch of questions, but were they, what were your first, you've been on what, two podcasts, three podcasts?
Three podcasts. And,
is that including this one or?
Nope, not included. From, so this will be my fourth one.
Wow. Nice.
Which,
wow.
I mean.
Which one's the best so far?
Oh my God. Here we go. Obviously us, Eric. Let's move on.
Okay. I was trying to get him to say, why you gotta ruin, why you gotta talk for everybody, Mark?
Oh shit.
Fucker.
But go on. So like the setups are great. Like you know what I mean? Yeah, they're real good, real professional.
Yep. Bruce Hoyer, he's the head coach at Next Edge Academy. He actually did the setup for all the three different podcasts I've been on.
No shit.
Yep.
Wow.
And, I mean, it's all in the same room. And
what's that?
It's all in the same room.
So is it at the actual gym?
Yeah. There's just a podcast room at the gym. And
so when it was all set up and stuff like that, so each guy got their own chance at doing their own show type deal?
Like, yeah. It's kind of like, I guess the side business is he runs other podcasts through that place.
Oh, it's a side business for him. So maybe you can hook us up. Because I know we're trying to, get the audio. Like, we have all the equipment ready to go. Obviously, we were already passed by.
We need guidance.
We've already been accepted by Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, all that stuff. So we are on a lot of platforms, and the only thing that we're kind of missing here is we are trying to do the camera stuff. Obviously, you know, we're getting some flack for that. We've had some comments too. It's like, hey man, a podcast is a podcast as far as it goes, like, you know, it's something you sit back and listen to, but we want to get with the times. We want to be on the video. I'd love to have had this on video, but let's make a deal, dude.
You back on when we get our first video.
I want to get you back on too after your next fight, and we're gonna go there. We'll check out your fight. We'll take some clips and stuff like that from it. We'd love to have you back if that's something you'd like to be a part of.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean,
you can call
I'll probably see
too.
Eric every weekend. So
yeah, there you go.
And whenever.
And we'll get on there. So if you guys want to listen to the episode here that we had, we are on Anchor, of course. That is the mainstay for us. But we are also on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, CastBox, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Stitcher. Also, we are on YouTube, doing on the Wise Guys Podcast. We're on Instagram at Eric.
Podcast Wise.
At Podcast Wise. And we are also on Twitter. Come check us out there. Robel, man, I got to say, dude, it's been a fucking honor and privilege to talk to you, dude. And thank you so much for coming all the way out here.
Yeah,
why do you
get
to decide when the fucking episode's over?
That's true. I guess I can't. So
I'm just fucking with you.
And coming all the way out here, too. So I like to make an agreement, dude. I'd love to have you back. I mean, we can only probably pay you the same amount we paid you now. But So after your next fight, and when did you think the fight would be?
Hoping early 2019.
Early 2019. Did you have some social medias you wanted to plug, too?
If people wanted to reach out to you, where could they get a hold of you? Or
yeah.
If you want I'm people really, to reach out to you.
Let's get your plug. Plug it up.
The only social media I really use is, I barely use Facebook, but I'm on Facebook. And
what's your Facebook?
Just Robel Tesfaldit. ROBIELTESFALDET. My Instagram is just my first name underscore last name. There's not many people named Robel
Tesfaldit. Yeah, no, I'm having a really hard time doing it up. So
didn't take me long to find you on YouTube.
And kids like, and all the kids out there listening, stuff like that, if you want to become a badass like Robel, you can go to the Next Edge Academy there to do some training. Like he said, as soon as you start training, you're going to get them bitches. You know, they're going to come, like, right over hand over fist. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if you want some real training, you guys actually want to learn how to fight, go down to his gym, ask for them. Now, are you guys giving any promotions right now? Do you have any, like, winter specials or anything like that going on?
Or all the time trial or anything like that?
There's a two-week free trial, so come in, try it out.
That's for anybody that wants to come in.
Yep. Any class, any day, you can go, you know, multiple times in the 2 weeks and...
Awesome. Now, do they offer any other classes besides mixed martial arts, like
so? There
spin classes,
yeah,
Zumba.
There's a boxing class, a kickboxing class, a jiu-jitsu class.
I'm asking for a friend.
No, he doesn't asking for himself. He's like, do you guys have a spin class? Because I just want to sit on a bike and just bike.
I love spin things.
Anyways, we're going to go to wrap this goddamn episode up. Again, thank you so much, Robo, for coming out. We are going to be posting this episode very, very soon. We have another episode. We are doing an official weigh-in very soon here. We were supposed to do it tonight. Sorry, guys, we didn't get it done. But what we're going to do is we're going to do a weigh-in tonight. We'll post it on Instagram to kind of see where we're all at. We're doing a three-person contest.
We're doing it tonight, not doing it tonight. What are we doing?
We're going to weigh in. So we'll weigh in tonight as far as kind of see where we're at, and then we're going to do the app. We have a contest going on to see who's going to lose the most weight. Also, whose exercises are burning the most calories, where your heart rate gets. Kind of like what Joe Rogan did with Burt Kreischer and Segura. Segura. So we're going to be on doing that. And if you guys, we'd really love... Really, really love for you guys to throw some comments down for him. Ask any questions. Add him on your social medias. Look out for this guy. He is a professional MMA fighter out of South Dakota. If you guys can't fathom what that means, is that it's a very, 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 very Midwestern state over here. So there's only so many guys. So you need to follow. If you want a favorite fighter, here's your man. We want to thank you guys again for coming out. We have me. We have Eric. We have Jordan. We have Mr. Robel Tesfaldit. Thank you, guys. We're the wise guys. We say the shit no one else wants to say.
Tesfaldit.